I have been on deputation for 3 years and a half since 2017, and I'm at 70% of my support level, and I'm looking forward to return back to my home country by summer in July of next year. So thank you for your prayer for us. And January of this year, I just left my job at the BJU print shop. I used to work there as a full-time staff, but because of my level, I reached 50%, so I quit the job there. Now I'm on full-time deputation, but my wife, Pat, she is still working as a full-time staff at the BJU print shop. So our mission board, Biblical Ministry Worldwide, and our sending church is Grace Bible Church in Greenville, South Carolina, are excited to be partnered with us as we obey and serve Him. We want to go back to serve the Lord in Bangkok, Thailand. We want to go back to Thailand to be involved in church planting and training the national in Bangkok and around Thailand. So there's a great need there in Thailand. So thank you for your praying for us. So I want to go ahead with the slide. Okay, I think it's not where I will give you maybe the next slide, please. All right, this is a picture of myself. Well, we were both born and raised in Bangkok, Thailand. Neither of us grew up in a Christian home, but God used people in our teen years to bring us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe this by God's providence. If I were to live in Thailand, I would never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I was exposed to Christianity when my parents came to the United States. At a time, I was the age of 7. And my dad, he came to study at LSU in agriculture, in PhD. And I was exposed to Christianity at that time. So a Christian lady will come and take my two younger brother and I to First Baptist Church in downtown Baton Rouge every Sunday morning. I could remember at a young, tender age, I can remember the sense of love and welcoming of the church, and I can all remember the activities in the Sunday schools, you know, how they get the student involved in activity. I still remember that. So I believe God bring me to that Sunday school so that I can experience the love of Christ. It was only when I was in high school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that I understood what it meant to be a Christian. So about, you know, 15 years later, God saved me. But before that time, at the age of 7 to the age of 15, I was searching for meaning in life. I was searching meaning in life through religions, through philosophy, but I find it all emptiness, because the more I search for meaning in life, the more I'm in bondage. But praise the Lord, a Christian lady came to me and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So on October 25th, 1985, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior of my life. And I made a commitment to serve Him for the rest of my life. So the Lord didn't only save me, but He called me into the ministry. From then on, God put a burden and a desire to go back to my home country of Thailand and to reach the Thai people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, next slide, please. Well, before coming to study at Bob Jones University, I used to assist the pastor of the Thai Outreach Baptist Church in Pasadena, in California for 4 years. I was involved in preaching and teachings, and every other Sunday when I'm not teaching or preaching at Thai Outreach Church, I will go around in all the Thai churches in California. There are about 20 churches there, so I want to be a blessing to the people. But the church is not a big church, it's a small church, but I want to be a blessing to them. So I was involved in itinerant preachings among the Thai churches in San Diego and Los Angeles. But, you know, the Lord had led me to study here at Bob Jones, and I see it as a blessing. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, this is the church, Thai Outreach Church there. And the first slide is a Bangkok Bible College and Seminary. I used to train, teach there for many years. It has trained hundreds of Thai Christian workers, and it's the largest conservative Christian education and discipleship training center in Bangkok, Thailand. So when I go back to Thailand, I will be helping that seminary, but I'm not going to have any full-time position. I will teach only one class per semester, but my main focus there will be church planting in the heart of Bangkok. So Thailand, Christianity is only 0.03%, so less than 1%. So there's a lot of work to do in reaching the lost people in Bangkok, Thailand. Okay, next slide, please. Well, in 2016, I graduated with a Doctor of Ministry degree from Bob Jones University, and the person who stood on my left side, she's my daughter. She graduated from IT computer, and right after her graduation, she went on for her Master in Biblical Counseling at BJU, and right now she's serving the Lord in the Christian College in Thailand. So she's looking forward her parents to come and join and serve the Lord together with her in Thailand. Okay, next slide, please. And it's my dad and my mom. I showed this picture for a reason. They are, because when I first got saved, they are not very happy for me that I'm a believer. And when they know that I'm a preacher, they become very, very upset. But now she's very happy in knowing that I'm going to go back to Thailand and to serve the Lord. And both of them are Christians. They got baptized by water immersion at the church, at the Thai Outreach Church in Pasadena. And now they are living in Baton Rouge. But now and then, I, you know, Zoom them, Skype them, call them, and encourage them with the Word of God. Okay, next slide, please. And the title of my paper is a manual for evangelism and discipleship among the middle-class Thai Buddhists for Western missionaries. So in this paper, I raised the issue of culture and religion and worldview. And this manual is going to be helpful for a missionary or anyone who is interested to engage in cross-cultural ministries. So they have a hand-on experience of someone else who have gone through that, and they will be helpful to be how to be effective in evangelizing to the Thai culture, not only Thai, but Cambodia, Laos, and in the Southeast Asian region as well. Okay, next slide. Okay, Thailand was previously known to the world as Siam until 1939. So King Mongkut IV, or the fourth Rama king of Thailand, he wanted to modernize the country of Siam. So in 1939, he initiated reform that transformed the country from an absolute monarchy to a constitutional monarchy. So in 1939, the name Siam has changed to Thailand. Okay, next slide. Well, if you ever watched the movie Anna and the King, or The King and I, and that movie is about Thailand. So, you know, they see the king as a godlike figure, and the people cannot sit on the same level with the king. They have to prostrate flat on the floor because they see the king as a godlike figure, and they elevate it as a god figure. And we still do that in Thailand. But if you're a foreigner from America, when you meet the king, no need for you to prostrate flat on the floor. You can sit on the same level, but only for the Thai people. Okay, next slide. Okay, Thailand is called the land of the smile because of the friendly and welcoming natures of the Thai people. That's why Thailand attracts a lot of tourists, because the Thai people love to smile. And Thailand is called the land of the free because Thailand has never been colonized by Western nations. You know, whereas neighboring countries surrounding Thailand, all of them has been colonized by Western power, you know, like Laos by French, Cambodia by French, in Vietnam, French, and Malaysia and Indonesia by Dutch. All of them have been colonized, except Thailand. Okay, next slide. Okay, there's a theory. Originally, the Thai came from the Yunnan province of southern China and later migrated down through the southern region in Southeast Asia. At the time, they were the animist people. They were the Khmer, and they were the Mon people. So there are Thai-speaking people scattered all around Asia. There's Thai-speaking people, not only in Thailand, but we can find Thai-speaking people in Cambodia, in Laos, in northeastern of Burma, in southern China, in northern Malaysia. They all speak Thai, Thai languages. Okay, next slide. Okay, Thailand consists of other ethnic minorities, like the Chinese. We have a lot of Chinese people living in Thailand, about 20 million people. I think the largest Chinese people living outside of China living in Thailand. We have the Malay-speaking Muslim, which is down south of Thailand. And we have the Khmer, and we have the Mon. And the Khmer and Mon, they are very animistic, meaning that they are very superstitious. Okay, next slide. Okay, Thailand is at the equator, is the red dot there is at the equator. So Thailand is the uttermost part of the earth. So it's just the opposite from where we live from America, and it's near the equator. And that's why we have three seasons in Thailand. We have hot, hotter, and hottest, you know. So there's no winter there. You know, one year they predicted that there's going to be snow, but it never snowed. Okay, next slide. Okay, neighboring country that share a land border with Thailand. Down south we have Malaysia, Cambodia, Laos, and Myanmar, all previously known to the world as Burma. So the economy there in Southeast Asia is doing very strong, and we attract a lot of foreign investors from all around the world, from Europe, from America, and we have like technology like Nikon, all the European car assembly there in Thailand. And recently we have the BMW plant, you know, in Thailand, center in Asia, BMW car in Thailand, assembled by the Thai people. Okay, next slide. Okay, Christianity has been to Thailand in the early 19th century. So Christianity has come to Thailand for 200 years, but we see a very small growth of Christianity in Thailand. You know, Christianity has been growing in all the neighboring countries except Thailand. So there has been a saying that Thailand is a graveyard of evangelism. There are about 370,000 Protestant Christians in Thailand, which represent 0.58% of the total population of the country, meaning that less than 1% are Christian. And Christianity has been most accepted among the tribal, marginalized people. So Christian is not among the Thai Buddhist people, but among the tribal, because the Thai people don't want to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not easy to see Thai Buddhists converted to Christianity. You know, in the history of Thai Christianity, it took 40 years for the first missionary to see the first ethnic Thai Buddhist converted to Christianity. It took 40 years for them to see the first ethnic Thai Buddhist converted to Christianity. So it's a hard ground. But I think God is bringing up that hard ground, and the Thai people are becoming more open and receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next slide. Okay, the beginning of Christianity is attributed to Karl Augustus, the missionary, and Jacob Tomlin. They began the ministry in 1828. Okay, they were the first missionary to Thailand. But they were given permission only to focus the ministry among the Chinese in Thailand. And they're waiting for a way to be opened up for them to go into China, because at that time, the country of China, they're closed for mission work. So they come to Thailand and they find the Chinese. And later, because the first Baptist missionary left the field at a time, but the mission field left a strong Baptist church in Bangkok, the first Protestant church in East Asia, and the first Protestant church among the Chinese. And later became known as the Maitri Chit Chinese Baptist Church. In the next slide, you can see the picture. This is going to be the Maitri Chit Chinese Baptist Church. So they are very strong in the gospel there in Thailand. But the Thai Buddhists, they are still weak in their faith, in the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I want to go and I want to strengthen the Thai churches with the Bible knowledge of God, Okay, next slide, please. Okay, there are about 200,000 Buddhist monks in Thailand and about 85,000 novices in Thailand. You know, if you go into Thailand, you will see Buddhist monks, you know, early before dawn, you see Buddhist monks walk the streets around the temples, and people will just line a street to offer food to them. I think this is going to be part of the karma. They want to earn their salvation. They want to do good, so they do karma. So you can see all these monks, you know, walking on the street of Bangkok, 6 o'clock in the morning, all over Thailand, and they will walk on bare foot. Okay, next slide. Okay, nearly 29,000 watts of Buddhist temple exist throughout Thailand, and nearly every town or villages has a temple. So temple, you know, provide essential religious rituals and spiritual support for the lay Buddhist community. So all activities, you know, that pertain to birth and death are conducted in the Buddhist temple. So the Buddhist temple is the central nourishment for the communities, for counseling, for guidance, you know, for everything. It's all done at the temples. For the most Thai people who live in the country, the Buddhist temple is still the center of their village life. But you know, because of the world is changing, because of the rapid changes in urban life, the Buddhist temple no longer have a prominent place in the people in Bangkok, in the Thai community. So they are nominal Thai Buddhists. They call themselves Thai Buddhists, but they never go to temple. They go to temple when they're born and when they die, or maybe one more time when they have a wedding. So they know nothing about Buddhist teaching. Okay, next slide. Okay, one can find in nearly every house compound in Thailand a spirit house, or in Thailand we call it Saprapum, which is usually no bigger than a birdcage. The Thai people believe that the this local spirit house is a residence for local spirit. So every house compound you can find a spirit house. Spirit houses are so essential to the Thai Buddhists that the Thai Buddhists believe that, you know, the spirit reside in there, and it can be found in most marketplaces and commercial buildings. So everywhere you go, you see everything about Buddhism, spirit house, amulets and charms, idols. So lands of Thailand is filled all with idols and superstitious. But you know, they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we must pray for the Thai people that they will open their heart and that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will shine into their heart and they will see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, next slide. So Thai people, they wear amulets and charm to ward off evil and to be protected from misfortunes. Usually the Thai wear the amulets around the neck and charms around the wrist, which they believe to contain power and good fortune. But you know, in Thailand, when I see people who come to faith in Jesus Christ, I would tell them that, you know, as a mark of genuine conversion, the Thai people, the Thai believer, should throw away all the idols, the belief system, because of submission and faith to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, I tell them that, you know, that Jesus not only saved you as Savior, but Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life too. Okay, okay, next slide. Okay, Thailand become the world center of Buddhist activity and center. So where did Buddhism come from? So Buddhism was founded in India by Prince Siddhartha Gautama, right? He became known as Buddha, meaning one who is awakened or enlightened. So Buddha taught that life is impermanent, non-self-existent, and Buddha taught that life is filled with suffering. Okay, next slide. So there are two branches of Buddhism, Theravada Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism. Theravada Buddhism spread to Sri Lanka, Burma, to Thailand, but Mahayana spread to Japan, Tibet, Mongolia, South Korea. That's why in Thailand, Theravada Buddhism, you see a skinny Buddha, right? And if you go to China or to Japan or South Korea, you see a big fat Buddha. So people ask me, what is the difference between the big fat Buddha and a skinny Buddha? I tell him that the skinny Buddha is in Thailand, and the big fat Buddha is in China, all right, with prosperous. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is the elephant shrine in downtown Bangkok, named after the Brahma three-headed elephant, which they believe that to bring good luck. You know, most Thai, nominal Thai Buddhists do not believe all a Buddha teaching, but they regard Buddhism as a moralistic guideline for living their life. You know, they don't know about Buddhist teaching, but they become nominal Buddhists. It's very sad. Well, for them, but not for us, right? Okay, next slide. And current expression of Thai Buddhism is mainly a combination of Buddhism, Hinduism, and animism, and what they call the ancestor worship. This is called Thai folk Buddhism or Thai practical Buddhism. So if you want to understand Thai Buddhism, Theravada Buddhism claim themselves to have a closer to the original form of Buddhism. Right? And this is the Thai folk Buddhism or Thai practical Buddhism. So it's not unusual to find a Thai Buddhist worshipping at a Buddhist temple and then at a Hindu shrine while viewing at what they call animus amulet. So they have Buddhism, Hinduism, and animism all in one person in Thailand. So they are very superstitious. So they are in stronghold of Satan. And the Satan has been crept, have a stronghold in Thailand for hundreds and hundreds of years. If you go to the temple of Thailand, you will see the image of the three-headed snake, seven head. So the Thai people don't know that what does that mean. That means it's a symbol of what? The dragon, the Satan, right? The seventh head of dragon. And it's every temple in Thailand, and they're worshipping that, the Satan. Because the Thai people, they believe that there is a Persian god, or a Thai Asian animistic god, that hovering around in the atmosphere of Thailand, protecting them. But they don't know that it's a spiritual of darkness is covering them up and it's blind the eyes of that. Okay, next slide. And the concept of karma and merit have dominated the spiritual life of most Thai people, and this concept are deeply embedded in the foundation of Thai cultures and traditions. Because Buddhism is based on Hinduism, Buddhism accepts the Hindu doctrines of karma and reincarnations, the endless cycles of birth and rebirth. You know, karma is believed that every action has its consequences, not only in this life, but also in the next life. So they believe that if you accumulate bad karma in this life, in the next life, you can be born in the lower form of an animal. But if you accumulate good karma in this life, you believe that in the next life, you can be in the higher form of angels, or maybe in heaven, nirvana, for them. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is the ninth king. He was the longest king, reigning the king at the time, 70 years, and he passed away. Wow, time go by very fast, 3 or 4 years ago. Now the crown prince succeed him as, replace him as a king of Thailand. He's become the ninth king. So the tenth king. But the ninth king, he was very respected, and he can unify the heart of the Thai people together. And they see him, when they lost him, they seem like they lost a father to them. Okay, next slide. And today the Thai people are open and receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and missionaries have the freedom to preach in public places. Providentially, there has been no persecution of Christians in Thailand, because people ask me, are there any persecution in Thailand? I would say no, there is no persecution. So the door of evangelism is swung wide open, but we never know when this door is going to be closed. So we got to take every opportunity we have right now to go in and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is a Thai greeting. The guy says, Sawadee Krap, and the girl says, Sorika, I'm going to go faster. And just go to the next slide. And the young girl always greet the older person. Never the older person greet the younger first, but the older have to greet the older first, you see, because seniority in Thailand. Okay, next slide. And the Thai people, you know, they are taught to give special respect to those of higher social status, and the Thai family is built on strong bond of reciprocal responsibility between parents and children. So that's why in Thailand we don't see any nursing home, because when the elderly parents, the children are taken care by children. Okay, next slide. And this is the Thai alphabet. We have a 44 letters alphabet. We have what they call 33 vowels. And we have 5 tone. We have middle, high, low, rising, and falling. You see, all the words same sound the same, but it has different meaning. Like cow, 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 cow. You see, cow is mean come here. Cow is mean rise. Cow is mean right. It sounds the same, but it have Thailand is very tonal language. So the Thai language, the Central Thai is the official language of Thailand. So if you can speak Central Thai, you can use that in northern part, southern part, everywhere you go. So it's very unified in language-wise. Okay, next slide. And Bangkok is about 70 million people. Okay, next slide. And we have like a 35% upper class and 5% upper class and 60% poor. So most of the majority of the Thai people are poor, agrarian, they are agriculture, living in the country. But those who are well-to-do and have good work, they live in a big city like Bangkok or maybe Phuket or up north to Chiang Mai. Okay, next slide. And the Thai people are becoming very materialistic, you know. And Thailand, they like to get on Twitter and Facebook, and they say, you know, several years ago, the Thai people, they were on what they call Twitter, the most in the world. I don't know about that, but they are very materialistic. And the lifestyle of Thai society is changing a lot because of the Western influence has come in into the Thai people. Okay, next slide. And Bangkok is 8.5 million people with about 14 or 15 million people living in the greater Bangkok city. So I see this picture as a great Nineveh, right? They are lost, big city. And Noah, and Jonah, he cried out to God. And in 40 days God would bring judgment. And they believed the message, and they cried and repented to God. I believe that in a day, God can bring this great revival to Bangkok too, because God can shake everything. Okay, next slide. And this is the traffic in Bangkok. Next slide. And this is the downtown of Bangkok. This is where I used to come. And you know, most visitors to Bangkok, they are very impressed by the impressive modern high-rise building, enormous condominium, and a new housing development projects. Well, I haven't visited, I haven't returned back to Thailand for 10 years. But last year, I went to visit my hometown, Bangkok. But you know, I couldn't recognize it because the streets and the buildings all changes. So it has been growing a lot. Okay, next slide. And Thailand is an emerging economy with tourism and export as the main drivers of the economy growth. And rice is the main crop, and Thailand is the world's biggest rice exporter in the world. Okay, next slide. Well, in the first slide there, you know, because of the COVID-19, Thailand economy depends so much on the tourist sector, and because of the COVID-19, we cannot attract tourists. They cannot come into the country. So 40% of the GDP revenue of Thailand has been lost. So the tourist sector of Thailand has suffered a lot. Okay, next slide. And in 2016, Thailand was the world's most popular city for traveler. It has attracted 22 million tourists around the world. So it exceeds London. London was supposed to be the number one, but Thailand has become exceed London in attracting tourists all around the world to come to the city of Bangkok, the people, because it has the beautiful people and the beautiful beaches there, and the culture and the food. Okay, next slide. Okay, next slide is a floating market in Thailand. And it's one of some of the beaches. Next slide. And elephant can play soccer. Okay, next slide. And elephant can also draw pictures. How about that? Okay, next slide. Okay, I tell you all the beautiful side, but there's also a dark side of Thailand too, because of the rapid socio-economic growth in Thailand has produced a new set of problems. And the most obvious social problems in Thailand are prostitution, drug trafficking, and resulting HIV/AIDS epidemic. According to the 2016 survey, most of the country, 30,000 adult males, 2.5 million adult females, and 1 million boys and girls under the age of 18 are lured into this sex industry. So it's a human trafficking and drug trafficking and corruption is the, what do you call, is a social problems, deep issue in Thailand. So, you know, there's a lot of need there in Thailand, not only the gospel, but, you know, also in a social level, there's a great need as well. Okay, next slide. And this is where I live, in First Longview Court, Greenville, South Carolina. Next slide. I became a U.S. citizen 5 years ago. I hold dual citizenship, actually three, Thai, American, and heavenly citizenship is the most important thing, right? Just like Pastor told us this morning. And I'm very proud to be American. So my parents, my family, they all live in Baton Rouge. They're all American. So we love America and we pray for America. Okay, Cobb, next slide. And about 3 years ago, you know, he's my middle brother. I witnessed to him for many, many years and he showed no signs of interest. But that year, somehow God put a tumor in his back, and I visited him during Christmas time, and he see me, and he says, "Brother, please pray for me. I'm dying of his tumor." He was afraid, and he said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ." So I gave him the gospel message, and he received the gospel message, and he got saved, you know, and we pray, my daughter and my parents prayed for him, and he cried, wept and cried. We were all rejoicing. He said, "Brother, I want to be a missionary like you to go back to Thailand." I say, "Yes, please come to Thailand." Okay, next slide. Okay, next slide. All right, I think I have until 7:10, Pastor. Okay, I think I have 20 minutes. I'll be very quick. Thank you for your attention, and I'm going to share with you the message is going to be from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, the Great Commission. Reaching. The title is Reaching the Thai People with the Message of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So praise the Lord. So this evening, I wanted to take a closer look into the meaning, what it means to be a great commissioner, the great commission of Jesus Christ. So he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So it's not an option, but it is an imperative. God commands us to go into the uttermost part of the world. So Jesus Christ wants to see us to spread the gospel into all the world. To teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Three in one God, but there's one God that we worship, but in three persons: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the triune God, He loves us so much that God the Father gave His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And He promised to us that He will be with us always until the end of the world. So the task before us is not simply announcing the good news of Jesus Christ, but it's making disciples for Jesus Christ. So the phrase in verse 19 there, teach all nations, can also be translated as making disciples of all nations. So the focus then is not so much on going to all nations, on baptizing, or on teaching, but it is upon the making all disciples. It's not enough to evangelize them, to tell them the good news. That's the easy part, but the hard part is to disciple them in Jesus Christ. I was sharing during lunch with Pastor Juan, saying that, you know, to bring one Thai person converted to Christianity is not an easy task, because when they come to faith in Christ Jesus, they need to be a discipling. They need to be a transformation in their minds. We need to disciple them. Who is God? What is sin and salvation? Because the mentality is in Buddhism, it's strong. It doesn't take one day or two days. It takes 10 months. Just like I came from a non-Buddhist Christian background in Buddhism, and it took me like 10 months to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way. So my pastor, he told me, you cannot do that. You cannot worship Jesus Christ and Buddha at the same time. So I believe him and I obey him. And I burned my Buddha statue and all the books, and I cut all the bridges, all my belief and practices, and I turn back to my old belief and practice, and I turn my face to Jesus Christ alone. So I come to that belief. It took me 10 months, but by that, I was intense seeking who is Jesus. I want to learn in the knowledge of okay, next slide. The country of Thailand is a 1040 windows. Okay, 1040 window is a group of people that have a highest concentration of unreached people group. So Thailand is still considered to be an unreached mission field. So an unreached mission field is a place where Christ is not named, and Christianity does not have a felt presence in that society or culture, and most people, and Christianity doesn't have a genuine presence in that society. People might know and hear about Jesus Christ, but they don't know who Jesus is. If you come to Thailand and you ask them who is Jesus, they might think of the image that is painted by the West. But they said, I don't want to believe in that Jesus because we have Buddha. And they said, Buddha is more profound and we are better. So it's no need for us to change to another religion. So they are very happy in their belief system and in their worshiping. So Thailand is in that 1040 window. It's an unreached people group. It's most needed gospel in the world. Because I think Thailand is in 1040 because it's a 0.03%, less than 1% of Christianity. Okay, next slide. So it's good that we come back what it meant to be a Great Commissioning. The Great Commission has two proponent dimension. Is that glorify God by making Christ-like disciples of all nations and by proclaiming the good news to all the peoples. And this is my desire too. I want to make disciples in Thailand of all nations and proclaiming the good news to all people. And I believe this is our calling from the Lord. It's our convictions that we are safe, and my conviction that I'm being called by God to return back to Thailand. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. There will be definitely struggles, but I can face that struggle because I have this conviction and calling upon my life. So whenever I face hardship, I can look back when God called me and saved me, and that will inspire me and push me to move forward into his ministry. And because of my love for the people of Thailand, and I have that drive and determination and passion to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Thai people. Okay, and next slide. And you know, because of the busy life in the big city like Bangkok, I will take them out for lunch, for coffee, where they could easily come to for fellowship and discipleship. And I believe the Biblical Ministry Worldwide is my mission agency statement of purpose. As will state that our purpose is to serve the Lord and local churches by establishing, reproducing churches through evangelism, discipleship and leadership training. So I believe this is my purpose as well. I want to serve the Lord, and I want to serve the local churches in Thailand. So I want to plant a church in Thailand, but as well, I want to be a blessing to other Thai churches in Thailand too. I want to go around Thailand. I don't want to wait for students to come to get training at a seminary. I believe I'm a teacher. I can go to where they are, and they don't have to leave the ministry. I can train pastor where they are. They can have on-hand knowledge of the law of the Bible, and they don't have to leave their job and the ministry just to come to Bangkok. But we call it a mobile training. So I go through the north, to the east, and to the south. But it's going to be ongoing follow-up. It's not going to be one-time thing, but I'm going to go like a yearly round, you know, and give training and follow-up as well. Okay, next slide. Okay, some challenges in evangelizing to the Thai people, and the first challenge in evangelizing to Thai people is the Thai people way of life is different from the Western culture and traditions. You know, the Thai people, they are very proud of their rich cultural heritage. They are proud of their monarchy, and they are proud that their country has never been colonized by Western nations. So in my paper, you know, why we see a very small growth of Christianity in Thailand? Is it the failure on the Thai side, or is it a failure on the missionary side? So in my conclusion, I believe that it's not the missionary failure because they have done all they can do, but I believe the failure, I believe the problem is the Thai people. The pride of their heart, they're proud of their religion. You know, it has been a saying that to be a Thai is to be a Buddhist. They cannot be anything else. They have to be a Thai. So the Thai people believe that, you know, all religion teaches people to be good and to do good things, and all religion is leading to the same destinations, whether you are Buddhist or Christianity or Muslim, all is leading to the same religions, to the same destinations. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way. And the Thai people perceive that Christianity is a religion of Westerners. So they don't want to be converted. So that's why the Thai people, they are very secure in their worldview. And it's very risky for them, you know, to step out of that Buddhism worldview and to come to Christianity, because they would be misunderstood. They are afraid to be abandoned, okay? Okay, the second challenge is misunderstanding. Okay, misunderstanding of Christian terminology typically used by missionaries. So the Thai people, they don't understand what is sin. They don't understand who is God. You know, many missionaries, when they go to Thailand, they mainly focus on the issue of sin, salvation, and God. But the Thai people don't have a biblical concept of sins, of personal sin, and salvation, and God. Okay? And next slide. The Thai Buddhists define sin and God and salvation, and after that, I'm going to look at what Christianity defines sin, salvation, and God. But the Thai Buddhists define sin as an act of bad behavior. So the Thai people believe that the primary problem of human nature does not exist inherent from the fall of Adam and Eve. They believe that sin is only when they commit a murder, when they commit adultery, it's only sin. Otherwise, they will not see themselves as a sinner, because they do good, they give alms, and they see themselves as always good, a good person. So there's no need for outside help, and they believe that they can help themselves. All right? And Thai Buddhism defines God as a law of karma, cause and effect. So Thai Buddhists believe that God is only the natural law. It's fixed, static, that governs the heavens and the earth, and there is nothing else. We call nature, Mother Nature is God. So the Thai people reject the concept of a personal God. You see, the Thai Buddhists said, if there is a God, why there is suffering? Because suffering is around, so this God must not be a good God, because if he a good God, he wouldn't allow suffering. But because there's suffering in this world, this God is not a good God. Okay? And Thai Buddhism defines salvation as doing good deeds by one's own strength. So the Thai Buddhist concept of salvation is achieved by man effort. It's the man effort to overcome all desires. to self-discipline and meditations. So it's a work salvation. You got to earn your salvation. It's a good deeds salvation. So the Thai Buddhists believe that life is filled with suffering, and suffering is caused by desire. And to therefore to cease this, the cessation of desire is to stop life and death. That's what they believe. Okay, next slide. Okay, the Bible tells us that sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So sin is portrayed in Scripture as falling short of the glory of God. So no one is righteous, no one is good. All of us has fallen short of God's standard. We cannot meet God's standard. We have all been like a wandering sheep that go astray. So sin brings hideous result. It destroys family, it destroys our life, and sin destroys our nation. Because Satan cometh not but for steal and to kill and destroy. And the Bible tells us God is the creator of all things. So God, He is the creator. I believe in witnessing to the Thai Buddhists, we must start with the concept of personal God from the Old Testament story, especially from Genesis 1 and 2, the story of God creation of the earth, the land, the water, the sky, and mankind. So we are created by not by evolution, progressive evolution, but it's by direct act of God. God breathed into man, and man became a living being. So God created us. So I will tell them that. Okay? And the Bible tells us salvation, Christian salvation, comes only through believing in the work of God through Christ. So for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God's love is demonstrated at Calvary when Jesus Christ died for all our sin. So salvation is found in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. It has nothing to do with our good deeds or merit. We cannot merit God's favor. We cannot earn God's favor. It's by grace and grace and grace alone. And we have to receive this gift of life by faith in Jesus Christ. So you will experience in eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, next slide. So I want to make a conclusion. The altar to the unknown God in Acts chapter 16, 17 in verse 22, and Paul stood in the midst of the Mar hills and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with an inscriptions to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God who made the world and all things in it, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple and made by hand. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And He hath made all one blood of all nations, men, to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed, and the bounds of their habitations, and they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after Him and find Him, though He is not far from every one of us." So Apostle Paul here, he was ministering during his secondary mission journey in Athens, and he observed among the worship of idol of worship an altar to an unknown God. I believe in Thailand, the people are worshiping Buddha. It's an altar to an unknown God, but I don't know who this God is. But we know because we have received the truth of the gospel that this God is the God of the whole universe, the creator, and He appointed before the foundation of the world at His appointed time to reveal His Son, Jesus Christ, so that the whole world and universe can be reconciled to God, because we have been separated because of sin. And the only remedy to reconcile is to the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Apostle Paul, they were worshiping a God they don't know. It was estimated there were about 30,000 idols in that city of Athens. I don't know how many idols in Bangkok. I believe there are millions. And you know, Apostle Paul, he used that opportunity to preach the true God to them, and they accepted Christ Jesus. So Apostle Paul, he took these observations of the religious worldview and he used them as a starting point in explaining the gospel message to them. So I want to say that I will use a starting point in Buddhism. Karma is sin. Reincarnation is sin to them, because if you believe in Christ Jesus, you don't have to, you know, be in this bondage of endless cycle of birth and rebirth. Okay, next slide. Acts 26:18. We must understand our mission is to open the eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. So the people in Thailand are in the stronghold of Satan. So in witnessing the gospel to the Thai people, we must understand there is a spiritual warfare behind it going on, and spiritual darkness. People are deeply in darkness, culture and religion are deeply rooted in animism. But the Bible said that Christ, God gave Christ, Christ gave himself to deliver us from this evil age. So we are living in this evil age. So the God of this world is Satan. But God is still overarching in control, but he allows Satan to run this world. The system and the value of this world has blinded us. So Christ gave himself to deliver us from the God of this world. And the God of this world has blinded the people to deceive and to destroy. So Satan's main purpose is to deceive and to destroy. He wants to deceive. So when we come to Christ, Satan wants to destroy us. He doesn't want us to come to the truth, this light. Okay? And we know that the people of this world, the whole world, are in spiritual darkness. All right? And next slide. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that in whom the God of this world had blinded the mind of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the people, the whole world, lie in the power of this evil one. So this evil one is called the God of this world. So we know that the end time is coming. And I believe the platform of the world is preparing for the coming of the Antichrist, meaning that the rapture can take place at any moment. And I pray, God, if you come tonight, can we say to God, God, Jesus, if you come tonight, are you ready to come tonight? Are you doing the word of God? And, you know, the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbeliever to keep them from seeing the true light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. The people cannot come to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ positively by their own, except by the working of the Holy Spirit. So I believe the one key that can open the heart of the people is the power of the Holy Spirit by prayer. So prayer, prayer, prayer. It's not through program, it's not by money, it's not by project, it's purely by on your knee. Prayer, prayer, and prayer. You know what? In the past, I have been serving the Lord. I've been serving the Lord with my intellect, my wisdom, and my strength. But you know what? I accomplished very little. But because I have been reading this book, you know, The School of Christ, Prayer in the School of Christ by Andrew Murray. So I have been reading that every night. So God, from now on, I want to be a man of prayer, because I want to accomplish much for Christ. So, you know, in Psalm chapter 2, ask of me, and I will give the inheritance of the world to you, to Christ. So my prayer is to God, God, I ask for Thailand. I claim for Thailand. This Thailand will be for Jesus Christ. I ask Thailand, many souls will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In America, we want to claim America for Christ. So the gospel is a light, you know, to shine in darkness. Those people who live in darkness, behold, a great light has shined into darkness. People are living in darkness. Darkness of gambling, darkness of adultery. And they have pleasure and they acknowledge that. And they know the wrath of God is soon to come. But you know what? They are treasuring up their sin until the day of wrath of God. There is a hell And it's a heaven. It's a real place. A real heaven and a real place. And we're going to make all our effort not to go there to heaven. So we're going to, because narrow is the way to heaven and wide is the way, the gate to hell. And many thereof that go into hell. But we are the chosen, we are the elected to go to heaven. Okay, let's pray. The last slide. Okay, pray for open door of missionary. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm also in bonds. So the Apostle Paul here is not praying for an open prison door, but he's praying for an open door of ministry. And Thailand is, the door is swung open, and the Thai mission field, the harvest right now is ripe for harvest in Thailand. Okay, next slide. And pray for more workers. Matthew 9, 37, 38, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the workers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth workers into the harvest. So Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of the harvest. So he is the one who called and sent people in the harvest because he is the Lord of the harvest. But our main part is to pray. Pray that God will call people from among us and God will send from among us to go into all nations. But we can rest assured that if we pray, God will send people. But we must remember that God, he is the Lord of the harvest, and we are his worker by his grace. So I'm excited. I'm fired up to go. I'm very passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go and to tell the people, because this is the only good news, and this is the answer. I tell people, philosophy is not the answer. Education, politics is not the answer, but the answer is this in the Bible, the Holy Word of Jesus Christ. I got saved when I was the age of 18, and I want to share this good news of the Bible to the Thai people. So I assure you want to save. Where is our mission field? Well, your mission field doesn't have to go to Thailand, but your mission field can be in your backyard, in your workplace. All right? And I want to say the quote of David Livingstone. Next slide. He was a famous missionary to Africa. He said that God send me anywhere, only go with me, lay any burden on me, only sustain me, and sever any tie in my heart except the tie my heart's to yours. So can we pray the prayer of David Livingstone? God send me anywhere. I answered to God's call when I was the age of 18. God, send me anywhere. Because at the age of 18, I was studying pre-med, medical at LSU. I could become a medical doctor. But God prompt, through the power of the Holy Spirit said to me, go back to Thailand. And that's what I did. So I believe I answered the God call, and God calling is the best calling in the world. Thank you so much for your listening, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. And thank you for your prayer and your interest in us. And if Lord willing, we can partner together in reaching the Thai people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
It's one of the things I thought about is he was making the presentation of how much the United States is becoming like Thailand spiritually. And when we try to witness to people now, you almost have to go back and start a creation, because the concept of God in people's lives today, maybe you experience this as you have tried to witness to people, and there's very little understanding of Jesus, there's very little understanding of who God is, that we are becoming, as some would say, the heathen nation. So while he's going to Thailand, our mission field is right here. So when we walk out these doors, we don't have the sign. I don't think we have that sign there anymore. No. We used to have on the back wall. Maybe we need to get that back there. You are now entering the mission field. And, you know, when's the last time we have shared Christ personally with somebody? When's the last time we've personally just opened the Bible or taken a tract and told someone. I don't mean invite people to church. I mean, that's good, and I certainly want people to be here in this place, but just given the gospel. When's the last time we've led anybody to the Lord? You know, we have a mission field here. And as we fulfill our mission call, then we'll get a burden for Thailand too. I don't really think we have a burden for people across the sea if we don't have a burden for people right here. So maybe your witness is good. Maybe you have a love for the lost. Maybe you are bold in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then again, maybe that is not the case. And if not tonight, maybe that's exactly what we need to do, is stop and consider where am I at? Where is my burden for the lost? What am I doing to get the gospel to other people? And brother, when that begins to stir in your heart, it will begin to change the way you look at the world beyond our personal world here. It'll give you a burden for the Thai people and the Chinese people and the people in Uruguay and wherever it may be. That's where the real burden begins, when we have a vision for the lost too. So thank you. Thank you for that.